Hello and welcome to Heavenly Manna with Milton Harris. Now on today's broadcast, we want to share with you from Psalms 33, verse number 12. And the Word of God said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance." But we look back and we see this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And we see that the Lord there in our King James Version of the Bible is all in uppercase. And this name is Jehovah or Yahweh. And this says that the nation whose God is Jehovah or Yahweh. And isn't it wonderful that our founding fathers had a faith in God, in Jehovah God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I think it's very important that we look back and we see the faith of our founding fathers. And that's our thought today. We want to take and share some of the faith of our founding fathers using the Word of God as well. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy precious and holy Word. God, help us to do that would always be pleasing in your sight as an individual. God, help us, dear Lord, as a church, Lord, as a community, and Lord, as a nation. May you always be God. And Lord, may our leaders look to you as our founding fathers did. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that you have given us, the physical freedom. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the spiritual freedom that you have given me through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That night that we were born again, back in 1969, Lord, I thank you for the salvation that you brought to my heart. And I thank you for the freedom from the bondage of sin that I was under. And Lord, I'm so thankful to be set free. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you again for this great nation and where we can still go and worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Heavenly Father, forgive us all where we failed you. Lord, forgive me as an individual. Forgive my family, Lord, and forgive our nation, Lord, of their sins and failures. Lord, ever lead us and guide us. And whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'll always be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we do humbly pray. Amen. As we begin to look here in the Word of God, I thought about this verse that we just read. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Back in 1957, President D. Eisenhower placed his hand on this scripture as he was sworn in as President of the United States, as he took that oath of office. Our ambassador there to the United Nations back in 1959 made this statement: "The good in the United States would never have come into being without the blessing and power of Jesus Christ." Here, I believe there are some men that recognize that God, that Jehovah God is important to be God and in control and look to in our great nation. And I'm so thankful there of our ambassador to the UN as he recognized our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and recognized without him, we would not have been the great nation. But let's look at some of the faith there of our founding fathers. First of all, look at their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear today that some say, no, these men, a lot of them, they didn't have any faith. No, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say that all of the men were Christians, but the majority of them was. And they had a faith in Christ. Get this. Our founding fathers were influenced by Christianity. As I said, now all of them claimed to be Christians, but they did claim to be influenced by the principles of Christianity. Benjamin Rush signer of the Declaration of Independence, made this statement. He said, "My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon him. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." This is Benjamin Rush, one of our signers of the Declaration of Independence, one of our founding fathers. We find in the Word of God how important his statement is. He said in Colossians 1:14, "The Word of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." Hebrews 9:12 said, "Neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Isn't that one? Listen, they want to downplay the blood or even take the blood out, but I'm going to tell you what, our redemption there lies in the blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And aren't you glad Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross of Calvary? Oh, he died an agonizing death, and he gave his last blood there on the cross for us. Patrick Henry here, a governor of Virginia, one of our forefathers, said, "It cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religiousness, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Oh, listen, it sounds like they had a faith in our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. This was Patrick Henry. Oh, listen, our first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Jay, made this statement. "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." You know what? We're to pray about who we vote for and who gets placed in the office. Psalms 106 said, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." Oh, listen, here is some of our founding fathers and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I want to share this with you. Here, the Apollo 8 crew. This was the first manned mission that actually kind of circled the moon and entered into lunar orbit. And they entered in on Christmas Eve, 1968. That evening, the three astronauts, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Williams Anders, did a live TV broadcast during their ninth lunar orbit. Now listen, they had been told that there was going to be a live broadcast. And they were told we want you to say something very appropriate. You know what the Apollo astronauts did? Andrews, Lovell, and Borman, they concluded their broadcast by reading Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And they said this, "And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all you on the good earth." So here, even this Apollo 8 crew, they recognized the word of God, and they were giving God credit for creation. I'm going to tell you what the Apostle Paul said, that man will stand without excuse. When you go back and you read that Romans chapter 1, he says there's two reasons man will stand without excuse there in knowing there is a creator. He said that man, one, that he can look and see the creation and knows there has to be a creator. And he said, two, man has a conscience, and he has to know from that conscience that there is a God. People say, oh, I don't believe in God. there is no God. I want to tell you what, they'll stand inexcusable because they do see creation and they do have a conscience, although it may be a pretty seared or not seared, but it may become an evil conscience, but they have one. And so they cannot deny that there is a God and they'll stand inexcusable. But not only, listen, not only do folks, we see their faith in Christ, but secondly, I want to say, look, they had a faith in the Bible. I'm talking about that our founding fathers had faith in the Word of God. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, said, "The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures." John wrote in John 5:39, he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Think about this. I believe they had this scripture in mind. He said, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." I'm going to tell you what, those that don't believe in the Bible and say the Bible's not true, we find from the Word of God, he said, "Let God be true and man a liar." Psalms 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I don't care how much man tries to change it. I don't care what he tries to do to it. It is settled already in heaven, and he can try, but God's word will stand forever. So we see John Quincy Adams, though, the sixth president. Listen at Andrew Jackson, the seventh president. "That book, sir, is the rock which our republic rests." Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, he said, "In regard for this great book, I have this to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book." Listen to this from Helen Keller. "Unless we form the habit of going to the Bible in bright moments as well as in trouble, we cannot fully respond to the consolations because we lack equilibrium between light and darkness." So here is a faith in the Word of God, in the Bible, faith in Christ. We can go on and on. Robert E. Lee, George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, Charlton Heston said this, "To call the Bible a great book is an understatement. It is quite simply the cornerstone of our Western civilization." And so we see here, these all, they're had faith in the Word of God. And then they had faith in prayer. The third thing, the first Congress in the United States met in September 7, 1774, and began with prayer. George Washington, they said, started every day with prayer and ended every day with prayer. Benjamin Franklin was known to pray. I remember Peter Marshall, that a great man of God that spoke to the assembly years ago, was a man of prayer. And folks, we see they had faith. Our founding fathers had faith in prayer. But listen, get this, fourthly, and I gotta hurry, that we see faith in the Christian education. America's oldest institutions, get this, started by preachers and churches. Harvard, 1636, "To know God and Jesus Christ." William and Mary in 1693 was a seminary. Yale in 1701 made this statement, "To know God in Jesus Christ." Princeton, Columbia University, Brown, Rutgers, Dartmouth, all of these were started mostly as Christian institutions. The great textbook was the Bible. The primer, New England primer, was a textbook that was used. And it began with A, Adam's fall, we sin all. B, heaven to find and Bible to mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners, and so on and so forth. So we see the faith of our founding fathers. Well, I'm out of time. Till next time, may the Lord bless, dear listener.